This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Ahoy, everyone. Captain Adam with you. They call me Adam Ritz, and this is the Adam Ritz Show. We talk about public affairs. We do it in style with a smile, mainly because of our co-host, Jay Baker, who's joining me on the phone. He always gives me a smile. How are you, Jay?
I am doing great, Adam. I'd love to pay more attention to the show, but I'm still, even though we're almost done with the four first big days of the NCAA tournament, I'm still filling out my bracket.
That's a good way to ensure victory. Wait till the games are over and then fill out your bracket.
It makes picking so much easier. That's my pro tip of the day.
Well, with the excitement of the tournament, I thought we'd start with gambling awareness. It's a big problem in America, especially with the advent of gambling apps on your smartphone. Remember the old days when if you wanted to lose all your hard-earned money, you actually had to get on a plane and go to Las Vegas?
Yeah, you had to physically visit a casino, and most states prohibited any type of casino. So you're right. It's like Las Vegas. Later, they added Atlantic City, but there were only two cities in the entire United States where you could place a legal bet.
And so right out of the gate, I mean, and if you wanted to lose thousands of dollars gambling, you had to spend thousands of dollars to get there. And then the riverboats popped up here and there. If there was a waterway and they could build a dock and put a fake steamboat with some slot machines and call it a riverboat, you could do that. And now, you know, if you could go back in time and tell those casino bosses, pit bosses in Atlantic City and Vegas, hey, in the future, everyone is going to have as much gambling as they want at any point in the day at their fingertips on their phone. How will that affect your business? You know, they might have thought their casinos would shut down. But Jay, I'm here to tell you, Atlantic City and Las Vegas, every light bulb is still on.
Well, it's impressive to think about. When you look at the numbers, we're a country that does enjoy gambling. And there's nothing wrong if you gamble in moderation, et cetera, in my humble opinion. But aren't you a little surprised that you are correct with the ready availability of sports gaming on your phone or device? The casinos, they're still open. You know, I know it because they have the quote casino games. It's really hard to find a good roulette game on your phone.
True. And trustworthy as well. You know, really trust, at least it's easier to trust a physical marble rolling around a roulette wheel rather than do it, you know, touchscreen on your phone, wondering who's controlling the software to make sure you lose.
I think just in general, the fact that it's become more popular than ever, especially sports gambling.
Well, with that, you know, popularity comes addiction. And there's a lot of people that get, they overindulge in that gambling app on their smartphone. So we just want to bring awareness to that. You know, Jay, I did a little research for this show and found out that they're expecting $3.3 billion worth of wagering during this basketball tournament alone. If you told me that there was going to be $3.3 billion worth of gambling, I don't know. That's such a big number. I thought maybe that's for the whole year. Or for the quarter, or for some larger, designated period than just the NCAA basketball tournament. So it is so popular and so much money is wagered, which means so much money is lost. So we just wanted to bring it up and give you a couple of resources if you or someone you know seems to be having an issue, a negative issue with their gambling habit. There are two I found that are very trustworthy. The Concern Center is a national problem gambling helpline, and their website is concerncenter.com, the Concern Center. And the other one is called Gamble Aware, and their website is gambleaware.org for gambling help and gambling addiction. So there's two easy to remember and easy to access. ConcernCenter.com and GambleAware.org.
And I'll admit, that's Jay, handy to know, because like you and I know, you may encounter someone in your life that needs this help.
Yeah. And, you know, when you start missing mortgage payments because you're gambling online, that's a sign to get some help. So best of luck, Jay, with your teams. If you are making a few wagers, as you said, do it in moderation.
Well, and, I said it somewhat jokingly about filling out the bracket, because if your office has more than two people in it, you know, the brackets come out and, you know, at least some form of friendly wagering takes place in your office. There have been several articles written about how to fill out the, quote, ideal bracket. The chances of actually filling out a bracket with zero mistakes is greater than hitting the Powerball three times in your lifetime. Somebody did the math. So it's nearly impossible to fill out a perfect bracket. Warren Buffett famously offered, I think it was $50 million at one point as a publicity stunt to anybody that could fill out a perfect bracket. And of course, they collected a lot of brackets, and no one was successful in taking Warren's money. So he was able to keep his money and prove a point about just how difficult it is to fill out a bracket.
Yeah, it is. It's pure chaos when you start having some of these teams win that you would have never thought in a billion years could pull off a victory. Some small school with 800 students, in a conference you've never heard of, that's the first time they've ever made the tournament, playing a team that has been nationally ranked in the top 10 all year, and they end up winning. And you're like, how could that have happened?
I know.
And it's just, that's how gambling works. That's how these games work. March Madness is chaos. So here's a little tip, Jay, I learned scrolling through Instagram. When you doom scroll through the reels, and it sort of shows you what you are interested in based on your algorithm. And I seem to get all these guys telling me how to pick the easiest victory in my bracket. And the same thing happened over the Super Bowl. Here's what you got to do. This quarterback is, when the temperature's this and they're playing a team with a third-rate defense, they're definitely going to throw over 200 yards. So take Sam Darnold with the over on the 200. So they present all this information that makes you think, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I'm going to bet Sam Darnold 200 yards passing. And then in the Super Bowl, he throws 120 yards and you lose the bet. So my advice is when you doom scroll and find some guy doing a video where he seemingly is an expert and knows everything about every statistic and here's how you can win, don't believe him. Do not trust that. It's not going to happen.
I think that is very good advice. Well, as you alluded to, enjoying gambling a little too much might be termed an addictive behavior. And there is a couple of, well, I shouldn't say a couple of, there are several researchers that do nothing but look at addictive behaviors. One of the things that they attacked last year was a study on TikTok. And their concern was the anxiety of missing out on something that you'd see on social media can actually fuel addictive behaviors. Now, those addictive behaviors in turn lead to everyday memory and attention lapses. So that was their big concern, is young minds with TikTok may find themselves having memory and attention problems at a young age. And that's pretty alarming in my mind.
It is. And, you know, this has been a subject in my household for a while that we agree. And this is the boomer in me. I'm not a boomer, Jay, but that's what the kids call me. The get off my lawn in me is that growing up in the 80s was just the greatest time to be alive, and which automatically means that growing up now is the worst time to be alive. And thanks to the internet and social media, it's just terrible. Things have, it's almost like it's gotten worse, and it's getting worse thanks to the internet and social media. Think about how great life was prior to the internet. And we'll never be able to go back to that.
No, and, you know, the genie is out of the bottle. Looking through this research, it basically places the blame on the social media platforms, not in a way of, oh, this is horrendous. But if you think about it, if you were TikTok, if you were even Facebook, which is probably the oldest and most quaint of the social media platforms, the design of the program itself was engagement. We want to keep you here. So once again, it defeats what happens in your brain. You and I know back in the day, you'd get a library book. Let's say it was a signed reading. You get about a third of the way through it and you go, this Moby Dick stuff, it doesn't connect. you would just put the book down. Well, you know yourself, Adam, with raising children in this era, you have to almost pry the phone out of their hand to get them to look up from some of the social media.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And the fear of missing out on TikTok, that just leading to addictive behaviors. I mean, there are congressional hearings right now with social media powerhouses to find out what they've done and if they should be criminally or legally obligated to the negative effects of their platforms.
Yeah, this is the first study that's actually tied it to cognitive problems with distracting you enough that you actually have a problem focusing on daily tasks. And we've had some shows in the past, and we don't want to be the, oh, this is horrible group, but we have pointed out that brain development is very important, and much of the brain development doesn't even really come together until you're in your late 20s. So if you think about it, you're a young person, you love your social media, it could actually be interfering. And I know, boy, this sounds serious. It actually can interfere with how your brain develops.
I don't know if I could have survived today having anything hinder my brain development. It was hard enough in the 80s.
I'm still waiting for my brain to develop, and I'm sure it'll happen at any time. Hey, you know, this is interesting. You know, we've done this show for so long, and it's really heightened my awareness of what is public affairs, what is the topic of, for the best outcomes for people in life and things of that nature. So you can get really reflective doing these shows. I ran into an article, Adam, I want to share with you.
Okay.
Because, we've run into situations where obviously we identify, here's what our aging Americans are going to be dealing with. And, you know, cancer and heart awareness and cognitive awareness come to mind. But I have found that people are very fearful, and rightly so, of dementia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've all had people in our lives or in our families who have had to address dementia issues. But this article was great because it addressed some very specific examples. I think the one thing that we tend to read, and it's not like the advice is not worthy, but we're all told, hey, we age a little bit. Your memory functions are going to get a little bit fuzzy. That's kind of part and parcel. But this article addressed the specific problems with dementia, and it started out with challenges in planning or solving problems. So changes in memories can transform into an ability to not be able to follow a plan or work with numbers. So if you are having trouble following a recipe or keeping track of monthly bills, it may be time for you to book an appointment with your family doctor and chat about dementia.
It is scary to think about. My grandmother passed away when I was 16 from Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, it's something that I keep in the back of my mind. At what age might I see those symptoms? And hopefully I don't. And there are days where, you know, if you're, Jay, we've all been there. You're walking around your house with your keys in your hand, looking for your keys.
Yes.
And or you're talking on your phone while you're walking around your house looking for your phone. And little things like that happen to all of us. And they're not all red flags for, you know, meaning you have dementia. But when those start adding up, it's really something to worry about. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I hear what you're saying.
You raise a great point. A couple other items they said to be aware of, or if you see this behavior, either in yourself or a loved one, you might want to address the issue of dementia. One of them is withdrawal from work or social activities, because people with dementia oftentimes have trouble holding or following a conversation. So this leads them to withdraw from activities.
Well, now I'm in trouble because you're telling me if you withdraw from work or social activities, Jay, I don't want to go to work, and I love to not go to the party and just stay on my own couch.
Well, I happen to know, joking aside, that you are one of the more social creatures known to man, so I'm not too worried.
Okay,
but
good.
Yes, you do love your couch. But I thought that was an interesting point about, yes, I withdraw from work, you know, activities as well. I'm like to be the ghost employee. Don't we have that one guy working here at the station? Yeah, but I never see him. I want to be that guy.
Yeah, that's Jay.
Yes, right. One of the problems that presents itself with dementia issues is managing money. Doctors will often ask patients with possible dementia if they're still managing their household finances. So once again, you know, we take a look at a chore like math and the math of running your household. Many dementia patients have a difficult time with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely see that happening.
Another one is getting lost in familiar places. It's exactly what you said. Sort of a sidebar of dementia problems are memory loss and visual difficulties. Those can combine to lead to disorientation. So even sometimes if you're walking in a neighborhood you've always walked in, if you find yourself getting lost, you should perhaps chat with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Couple other quick signs: confusion about time of the day. This is a common problem in dementia patients. You're eating breakfast, but you think, oh, it's almost time for dinner, or things of that nature. If you are having trouble remembering of the day, what day of the week it is, it could reflect on cognitive impairment.
Mm-hmm.
And The last but not least thing is early sign of dementia is forgetting things you just learned. That's the reason I like this article, Adam, because it gave specific examples, and it is kind of interesting. We learn stuff all the time. You know, you read a book, you watch a TV show, you watch a sporting event. If you are finding yourself forgetting what you just saw, that is a possible sign of cognitive impairment.
Right. Yeah, good.
In fact, if you have a person that continually asks the same question over and over again, or unable to remember details of something that they saw on a TV show, you might want to consult with a doctor.
Right. These are great. I'm glad you brought all this up. Thank you, Jay.
Well, it is. It's scary. You know, I'm with you. This is stuff that nobody ever wants to address, but I love the specific nature of, hey, if you're seeing this, it might be that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, and let's go on a little happier note, because nothing's happy about dementia. We've always said that. Mm-hmm. Wendy's is looking for a chief tasting officer.
Oh, this sign is me up.
Yeah, this is an employment tip. If you're currently looking for a job or changing a job, the chief tasting officer at Wendy's, they're looking for someone that has a human feel for food, a pulse, opinions, creativity, and taste. That person will share videos and once again post on social media. That's that ever-present job function. Social media posts that are related to Wendy's. They say the gig will pay about $100,000, and it is a real thing. So if you look it up on Wendy's website, you will see how you too could become the chief tasting officer. And $100,000, that's pretty good money.
You're going to pay me $100,000 a year to eat Wendy's and talk about it online. Yes, please. Where's that resume? Where's my resume?
There you go.
Where's that application? I need it.
You're the one that created the dancing hamburger, so I think you need to dust that character off. Bring him back.
I am ready to be the CTO of Wendy's, chief tasting officer.
Now, you know that something like this was eventually going to happen. Apparently, a New Jersey Girl Scout troop did a little strategic planning and found a new location to set up a table to sell cookies. Adam, you and I have always talked about it's all for a good cause, but we've been part of what I call the cookie ambush.
Okay.
That's the table that's set up at the front of the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the all too cute girls selling you cookies. How can you resist
the cookie ambush?
It's the cookie ambush. Those little marketing majors are out there selling their cookies. Well, this Girl Scout troop, they said, where would be a great place to do the cookie ambush table? They set up in front of a pot dispensary.
Oh, genius.
See, they equated the potential munchies that you might get from, and this is interesting, engaging in legal cannabis use. This happened in New Jersey, where it is legal to sell from a licensed dispensary. If you use cannabis, you just might get hungry. So the girls set up the table. No official word from the Girl Scouts of America about this, but I think it's kind of genius.
You know, you have to think outside the box. And when you want to sell the most cookies, you know, it takes some ingenuity. So hats off to the ladies.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty smart. And one final thing to look at, you probably know this. We've chatted a little bit about this. The overall social viability of bars is going down because the intake of spirits and beer has gone way down. Have you seen some of the details on this, Adam?
I haven't seen the statistics. I have heard anecdotal evidence, and I've seen statistical evidence that people are drinking less alcohol, possibly due to what you just said about legal dispensaries. Definitely because of the younger generation maybe just not being as into getting wasted as maybe yours and mine's generations were. You also have our generation, here's one of the most fascinating things I've heard recently is that the dry January trend, where you don't drink for the entire month of January, when that trend first hit, people used to they'd make it a few weeks and then give up and start drinking. Now the trend is that you make it through January and you don't mind missing the alcohol, so you just go ahead and quit booze altogether.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason why Dry January became popular. You raise a great point. Many of our habits, if you will, are habituation. So they've always said you can change your habits in 28 days, which coincides with a month worth of days of not drinking alcohol.
So what are these bars doing? They're closing down?
Well, here's the reason I brought this up. Do you remember the show Bar Rescue?
I do, yeah.
John Taffer, remember, he was the guy that would always yell, "Shut it down."
Yeah, the tough guy that would take over a bar.
Tough guy, yeah. He has plenty of opinions about the bar industry. They had actually several seasons of Bar Rescue. I like the fact that it ends up being the Bar Rescue Marathon. So that way, when you wake up at 2 a.m. worried about social media, now you've got something to watch on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But John Taffer was on a recent podcast, and they asked him about it, and he pointed out that for the very first time, beer consumption, wine, seltzer, spirits, as a group, are all down across the board. And that doesn't usually happen. When the white wine craze kicked off, wine consumption went up and beer consumption went down slightly. But that was like the only change. Well, now everything has flipped back to the point where all intake of alcohol is down. They asked John about it, and he said that the bars actually will have to deal with declining sales, to the point, if you think about it, running a bar is an industry, yet your product is no longer being sought out.
Yeah, that's a weird mix of ingredients for a business, for the bottom line.
Yeah. So, once again, it's like everything, sports gambling, not a problem. Alcohol consumption, not a problem. With this caveat, it has to be in moderation. And you do feel for the spirits, wine, and beer industry, including the companies that, when I say the companies, your local bar is an industry. It is a business. It employs people. But, alcohol consumption is going down. Ironically, alcohol is not particularly good for your health. It's more of a social thing. So, yeah, it's kind of a catch-22, isn't it?
Well, Jay Baker, as always incredible information you bring to the table here on this Public Affairs Show. We thank you for your efforts. We wish everybody luck with their brackets. If you have a problem, search out those resources we gave, concerncenter.com or gambleaware.org. And if you'd like to listen to the show again, they are all available in podcast form, our past shows, on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.